reading the Revelation chapter 21 from verse 10. Revelation 21, reading from verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gate thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth, and they measure the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb at the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gate of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the last book of life. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the bride. Let's read chapter 22 so that we. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, with their 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must surely be done. Amen. Now, let's also read from Ezekiel 48. From verse 31. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northwards, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, and one gate of Levi. And at the east side, 4,500, and three gates, and one gate of Joseph, one gate of Benjamin, and one gate of Dan. And on the south side, 4,500 measures, and three gates, one gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, one gate of Zebulun. At the west side, 4,500, with their three gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, and one gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. Now, brethren, we are talking about the bride, because that's the bride of Christ. One thing that we strike our mind is that you are reading a scripture. It says, I will show you the bride of Christ. Maybe we are trying to see a woman. Maybe the Bible will begin to describe that woman. Maybe like Proverbs 31, you know, telling us and all that. But the all-wise God saying, when we're talking about the bride of Christ, he started describing a city. So started describing a city. So it is this city that we want to look at. In Revelation, he mentioned that we have toward the north, east, south, they'll say territory, without mentioning their names. But we know that there is a connection between the whole book of Ezekiel and the whole book of Revelation. So in Ezekiel, it was very clear. It started telling us the names. Now, one thing that in God is that these names of the 12 tribes of Israel, they are arranged in almost 5 or 6 different ways in the scriptures. And the arrangement means different things when you look at it. Because each time God is trying to bring forth a purpose in his heart, he arranges the names. And when you go through and you begin to look at the meanings, you see that God was saying something. So in this particular instance, God is talking about a four-sided city that are equal. And we know that God has been teaching us about the soul. And the soul is the four-sided, four-squared city with north, east, south, west. And our understanding of this is not that well will help us, you know, to understand what God is saying in the book of Ezekiel. So I'm had time to study the book of Ezekiel, you know, in relation to the book of Revelation, to understand this bride of Christ. Now, in the east side, it talks about Joseph. We know Joseph is not arranged according to maybe there are some that may follow that, oh, the same mother, or not according to their ages, but according to the purpose of God. Now, he said, on the east side, you have Joseph. And we know who Joseph is. When he was born, the word that, you know, the name that he was given was Joseph, meaning the Lord shall hide, which means is a form of blessing. Even his father gave him double blessing. So that double blessing is also meaningful, you know, in this particular instance. So the Lord shall have another son. And it was a prayer, futuristic. And he had two sons, and the father took the two sons. And the two sons, the first Manasseh, and then the second Ephraim. Manasseh means God has caused me to forget my father's household, and has also caused me to forget my suffering. You know, we are talking about Joseph. So, in the east side, it means that they who are coming forth in the east side, who my understanding of this east side, which is the side of God, in the mind, that the mind is this east side, because that is the mind of God. So in this mind, it means that they who will be counted worthy to have the mind of Christ must forget their father's houses. Not only forgetting their father's houses, all the past experiences, because those past experiences have a way of generating bitterness. You must forget them. So Joseph, even before his brethren came, he has already forgiven them, because he named his first child, you know, causing to forget. That with the birth of this child, I've forgiven, I've forgotten about my brethren. Now, Benjamin, we know his mother called him Benoni, son of my misery or sorrow. So, but the father said, no way, he shall be called Benjamin, son of my right hand. So, the mind is part of this son of my right hand. And the third aspect, it is done, speaks of judgment. Now, so when you put these three together, it means that these eight gates, you know, speaks of a people that will come forth as the son of his right hand. After they will have forgotten about their father's house, because that's what we are called from them, and you have forgotten all your past experiences. And God has given you a kind of double blessing. He said, so then you have been judged of God, and you have been cleared. So you comfort a son of his right hand. Look at what we're saying. So in our ability to relate to God, we relate to God from the inside. Because that's where the Son of Righteousness is arising from, with healing in his wing to deliver and to set free the people of God. So we're talking about the bride of Christ. But there is something that God is talking about, that this bride of Christ is a city, and this city is made up of a people, and these people have experienced some definite things in their lives. So on the inside, and you will see later on in Revelation, as God begins to talk about the inside often, and some of the things that will come from there. And at a point, he said that when we talk about the people going onto captivity, you know, and the glory departed, and when the glory came back, and God says, the Lord God Almighty has entered through the east gate. He said, and that gate shall be shut. So what God is saying is that this east gate is where he enters into our soul. And those who will be counted as bride of Christ, when Christ enters through their east gate, that east gate is shut to every other spirit. So that they are no longer going to be able to have access to this city. If every day the enemy, all the worldliness of everything in this world is still flowing and having access into your soul, there's a problem. Because it has become a thoroughfare of the activities of the enemy. And what God is saying is that in this bride of Christ city, only him will enter through this east gate. Only him. But if you want to be part of the bride, then no other spirit can enter. If other spirits are still entering through that same gate that the Lord God Almighty has entered into, then you have a problem and you cannot be part of this bride. We know it's hard, but God is doing something. Now, when you move from there, you talk about the north gate. The north gate. The north gate speaks of the emotion. Emotion. And that's what we call the life. But whereas here we are dealing with the mind, and that's the face of a man, you know. So now, within here you have Reuben, Judah, and Levi, and at the center is Judah, priest. So, and Levi speaks of joined. And while Reuben is speaking of sonship, behold a son. Now, for me and you, to be able to praise God, we have to become part of these that are joined to Christ. And we come forth as sons. Then praise can well up. Now, the scripture uses the lion to depict emotion. And because emotion is a consumer, a destroyer. You see, every offering that is brought to God, look at the scripture. The scripture, as much as possible, tells us how not to expose it to emotion. Because if you expose it to emotion, it will not be acceptable.
And that's why the Lord Jesus, while teaching us how to handle ourselves, he says that you bring your offering to the altar and you remember that your brother or sister has an hurt against you. Then what do? Say, so you leave your offering there, you go back and you concern. Because you are talking of emotion. And so that's why the Lord Jesus himself came as the ultimate consumer to destroy the power of emotion. That's why he came as the lion of the tribe of Judah. See, if praise will comfort, that's in Judah, from same people that have given their life to Christ, then their emotion will be under control. Emotion refers to the excesses in our lives. Because this wild beast can destroy everything. And so that's why when you are angry, you are moody, you are sad. Now, it doesn't matter who causes all these things I'm listing, but you have a duty to yourself and to God to deal with it. God is not interested, because all your offering will be consumed by it. The implication is that the offering is polluted and God is not interested. You are singing praises. Yes, you are singing praises only to the extent that you comfort. You know that this man called Reuben was the firstborn. What he did to his father? Emotion. It can destroy. But God is dealing with it. He said, in Judah, that in Christ, emotion is dealt with. That's why Jesus was never emotional. The parents came and said, yes, child, we have been strong, we have been looking for you for the past 3 days. He told them that these people that are listening to my words, they are what? They are my brothers and sisters. He has no emotion when it comes to the things of God. Because the things of God must be above emotion. This is what the Bible called wild beast. You remember when our brother Abraham, after he has laid his offering, he said wild beast came to consume them. But he woke up, he said, and he pursued them away. So what God is saying, that we have the ability to deal with anger, to deal with all emotional characteristics that can come to us. And what is the solution? Sing praises. So that's why the Bible says, is any amongst you this, that? What did you say? Said, sing praises. When you are moody, sing praises. When you are angry with your brother or sister, what do? Sing praises. That will take care of it. But if you sit down moody, thinking and brooding over it, sorry, in the wild beast, it's consuming all your offerings. May God give us understanding, brethren. Now, as we move to the west, we are dealing with Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. Sorry, let me check something. Now, Gad, we know, speaks of truth. Asher is blessed or happy, and Naphtali is wrestling. Now, this speaks of the will. So, and it is represented in the scripture by the ox.
ox or oxen, so the ox will.
And within this will, we have God, that's the true,
happy, and then naturally resting.
What is God saying? That within the will of man
is the ability to be happy, if you want to be happy.
But then, that will only come when we wrestle. And the wrestling is not as one man, as a member of the body of Christ. True. So you wrestle within the body, so that the end point is that you are an overcomer. You are able to laugh, smile at your enemy. So what God is saying is that the will, we have the will. We can people use their will to do what they like. But there is a will that will submit to the will of God. And what the other says, that said, not my will, but thy will be done. That was the place the Lord Jesus came to. And if he came to that position, it's also showing to us that we must come to that position. In every situation, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. But what has, it will not be easy, but God has made a way of escape. For a people who are members of the body of Christ and wrestling with others to wrestle down the enemies of their soul. And the outcome is joy and happiness, you know, in Him. We need to trust Him. We need, you know, to believe Him. Praise God. Now, on the south side, we are talking of a city. And these are the gates to enter into this city. And these gates speak that they are to bring victory to you and to make that perfect city that will be a four square. So it means if in, on this side we have problems with the people that are not wrestling or not submitting to the body, then it means that there is a problem there. The gates are not being shut. They are open. And it means that wild beasts can creep in. In the same way with the emotion, you know, of that's why praise is also, if you like, you can also call it another emotion. But this is the godly emotion. That's, you chose to praise God. You might choose not to praise God, but you can say, I chose to praise God. It's an emotion that you are expressing. But in that emotion, what are you doing? You are submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the lion. We are dealing with a lion. And that this lion devours, he consumes. But a people that submits to the higher lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. So you come to Him in worship and in praise, and is able to lift the body and making us perfect. So we can rather look at the south side of this city. He said there are three gates of Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun. You know, the third gate is that of desire. So Simeon is hearing, Issachar is reward, and Zebulun is dwelling. So hearing, reward, and then dwelling. So a people
that is dwelling in Christ will be rewarded.
That their hire will be paid for. You know, when Jesus hired people, he just said, and I will give you what I will give you. But for the people he hired in the morning, he said, I will give you one pence. But when he started hiring the others, he didn't tell how much he would give them. So that was why the others who have been working in the morning thought they would get higher reward. But one thing that you are sure of is that there is reward for serving God. But today, people, you know, like the Lord Jesus rebuked those people. He said, why is your eye in what I, my property? Don't I have the right to do what I like with my money? But it's not so these days. Because many Christians, you are, God, I serve you. Now it's time for you to give me car, to pay me, to do this. So we are already asking for, we determine our own reward. And there's problem there. So to settle that, Christ should settle them. And we know the implication. Those who ask for settlement, the Bible calls them a prodigal son. They are the prodigal sons who will go and say, Father, now it is time. Give me my own portion. We'll go about and devour it the way he likes. That's not to say that those who are in the house who are not asking for are better off. Because while you are not asking, you are at the same time angry that God has not given you. You have not given me one or to keep and share with my friends. So in a sense, you are a prodigal. Prodigal in the house and prodigal out. And when the man is the one that went out, return, confessing his sons and his sins, and God, the Father, accepted him. The one he had was angry. You have never done this, you have never done this. So, all our eyes, if they are on the world, then we have problems. If only in this world we have hope, we are all men. Most miserable. So, but we should look for the greater reward. And it's only him that determines that. You know, when the mother of John and James came and said, let one sit on your right and one on the left, he said, well, there are some things I have to pass through my cup. He said, can you prophetic can do that? He said, even though you are able to do that, it is not for me to give. It is for that one is my Father that does that. So, brethren, it's good to look up unto Christ. So that our eyes, what God is saying is that we must take our eyes from these things. Because that's the thing. We are supposed to seek Christ and his righteousness. So that God will deliver us, you know, from filthy lucre behavior. So that's where it comes. But what we know is that there is a reward for the people of God. But that reward will come, you know, when we begin to hear God. Right, you must hear God. And so also you must dwell. You must be a people of the house, not a people of the street. That was the life pattern of Esau. And after he had been living the life of the street, he came wanting to get the blessing of the house. It will not come. It will not come. So we must be a people of the house. In conduct, in our behavior, in all that we do. So we are dealing, you know, said this
4 stripes.
Now this
discussion here, brethren, is the end point, is the foundation. But let now go back and see how God dealt with this relationship. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 1, for example, God started teaching his people, started telling them, you know, about the living creatures. The living creatures. And when you look at the living creatures, what conclusion do we draw? Four-sided also. But there are specific things. They have will, they have move, and they have purposes, and the purposes also coincide with what we are dealing with. Now, you look again, because somebody like Ezekiel, he was in captivity, in bondage, so to say. And while they were looking forward to God's deliverance, so that they will come back home and all that, God started showing him a different bargain. Started showing him about the ultimate man that is interested in, who is the bride of Christ. Because what God was showing was the problem of man is inside, not this captivity of the Babylonians. So the problem of Christians, yes, we can talk of flesh, but the problem is inside. Not how I was deceived, not what somebody is doing to me, because that's the problem. My rights, you know, you are offended because somebody did this, somebody did that. That person is not your problem. Inside is your problem. See, if you are not able to please God, you are the problem. I am the problem. Because in God, there are no excuses. Remember that myself, come into the wedding party of my son. And then people gave excuses. Yes, the scripture is clear. If a young man marries, you go and stay with your wife for 1 year. You will not participate in anything legitimate. Now they were invited to the covenant wedding of the master, and he said, because I've just gotten married. Well, we thank God for our brethren that just got married and they are here. So that's not excuse. Yes, you can have your rights under the law. They have right under the law for 1 year. Stay at home, don't do anything. But you can decide to take away that your right and say, I will please God. That's what we are saying. So it's not a question of what they say I should enjoy, so I want to enjoy it. But you want to say, now for Christ, that's why somebody offends you. He said, because of Christ, I forgive. And like a brother that wrote a book, I forgive for my sake. They are not forgiving because of the sake of the other person. You know, sometimes we take this Bible passage which say that somebody offends you, then you give the person cold water or food. In your mind, you are heaping fire upon his head. No. That's not what we are saying. You are hurting yourself the more,
because inside of you there is the fire is also consuming you, because of the Bible talks of people who pray and they don't receive because they want to consume it upon their lust. What is inside
is a problem.
So but then God started talking about this special man that is supposed to come to fullness in me and in you. And that's what the Bible calls the four living creatures. And that these four living creatures, because they are so joined together, and the Bible says that their head, when you look at the Bible, it talks of faces, but it's never talking of the head. Because when you look down, it starts telling us where their head is. In Ezekiel, from verse 20 down, for example, he started talking about whatsoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the winds were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheel. Now, when you move down to verse 22, say, and the likeness of the firmament upon their head, there's a firmament upon their head, and of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above, and under the firmament were their wings straight, the one towards the other. Everyone had two wings. Now let's move down a little. Verse 25. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood, and had let down their wings. Telling them, you want to hear God, then cool down. Not that in the activity you are doing. So when they let down their, then God will speak to them. Say, above the firmament that was over their head was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. So God was there as their head. And that's why when you go to Ezekiel 10:11 started telling them that these living creatures, that they obey the air. And anywhere, he said, anywhere the air, the face turn to, before you know it, they are moving in that direction. So it's important that we understand that God, you know, is in charge. And so God started explaining what he will do, what he will do, and what he's doing right now, and what the end will look like. So the end is this beautiful bride of Christ. And this bride of Christ will obey all these rules. Is submitting, you know, to God. Is submitting to the head. And anywhere the head is, that's the place that they go to. Now, so when God showed Ezekiel this pattern, it was from that point he started telling them now about their problem. He didn't start by telling them about their problem. I was telling them about what he wants them to become and what will become the solution to their problem. That you want to come out of captivity, there is a greater captivity which is spiritual that is holding you, and that is where your problems are coming from. So you only need to be delivered from this spiritual captivity, then you are delivered from the human captivity. But when our brother Ezekiel was not understanding clearly, then God started showing him, you know, said, let me show the house to the house. And he started showing the house to the house. Now, let's look at chapter 8. Chapter 8 of the book of Ezekiel. Then it came to pass in the 6 years. So God started speaking to him. Let's move to verse 3 of Ezekiel 8. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the vision of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh towards the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy. Now, this is where we can begin to understand this case that we are talking about. See, God took him by the lock of his head, which is very instructive, because Bible talks of reason, offense and all that keep shaping your head. That's why you forgive for your own sake. When you keep offense, anger and all that, they keep removing, you know, the grace of God. And that's why some people have been Christian 20 years, 30 years, at the end of say 15 years, your head is bowed. Because every day you are submitting to offense, submitting to anger, submitting to all manner of things which are not keeping the ear of your head to grow. They are not allowing it to grow. So that's why you know, I say, since when? So why are you like this? It's clear. But you can see, when God wants to deal with a man, you know, in the spirit, say, what did he do? He had to use the inbuilt grace upon that life. And that this grace, which speaks of ashes, he said, they must accumulate. Not that they disappear, or you don't even have anything. And that's why he said, for the head of the Nazarite, you can see every time there is a problem, it's shaven off. It means that as you are growing, you are rejoicing, you have joy, you are bubbling, and then there is a problem. And you just discover that all those joys, they have all disappeared. How? Because you have not taken heed. Head, they are all because of offense. Then you go and pass away, you start all over again. Then another thing happens, you submit. All disappears again. But here is a man, when God wants to take him, he said he took him by the lock of his head. God will only take us by the lock of our head. So it means when he comes and look at your head, nothing to hold. So he leaves you. He cannot use you. And you begin to complain. He's using this, he's not using me. Take it. Take it for yourself. This love must grow. He says, you must not call it. You will not submit to reason. Because that's what God said. We must not submit to reason, irrespective of any quarter. So what means is that there is reason everywhere, just opening like this, just doing like this. So if you enter into it, before you know it, it is off. There is reason. There is offense everywhere. There are things that will cause anger and cause offense. That's what we are saying. It is you, when you see the razor coming, he says, You will not cut my hair. You are the one who will say so.
There is rings of brethren. But God will deliver us from this rings.
We are talking of the bride of Christ.
Reason has no dominion over them.
That's what we are saying.
Reason has no dominion. They are above anger. They are above offense.
They will not murmur either.
These are all works of the flesh. They are all works of the flesh.
So we must
move on
in God.
So this love, so it was carried by the love of his head. And God started showing him things.
Now, the first thing God showed him in that chapter 8, he said, God took him to the door of the inner gate that looketh towards the north.
Looketh towards the north. Where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which will go to jealousy?
Now, when you are looking at this, it's easy. Gate,
seat of jealousy.
This seat of jealousy, you know, it can come.
You know, Reuben,
a carnal man. But God is dealing with his carnality. That's what God is saying. God is not taking Reuben away. But God will deal with his carnality. So, when you are angry, for example, or you are so bad, the Bible talks of anger as a rage, a kind of rage. So, what is God saying? God is calling it the seat of jealousy. Because God is jealous. I'll be jealous of my house. And so his house, which is me and you, then we are carrying this image of jealousy. So what do you think that God will do? God will behold you. If he behold you, he will consume you. To have mercy upon us. So what will he do? He will turn away. And then we will cry. We will not answer. The Lord Jesus was carrying the sins of all of us. And his father looked away. Because that was the image of jealousy that was upon his son. Until his son satisfied, you know, satisfactorily paid for our sins. So that we are set free. Then both his son and the people that is leading unto glory, you know, might become one that will have access to the Father. So what is us we do? So which is what he encourages us to do? Remove the image of jealousy. So that when we are looking at it, you can see that these were not physical things. God was shown. And God has shown first that this man, this new man, will be one with me, hearing from me. But now, he's showing the man that is not hearing from him because he's carrying the image of jealousy, which is provoking. He went on in verse 7, in the same northern part, he said, the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Are there holes in our hearts? A hole that allows all manner of creeping things to enter. And it's okay. What is that? Say, dig. Dig this hole, and you will see all manner of things in there. But then, so I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. So it means like all manner of things. Your imagination, like our brother was talking yesterday, imagination must be pulled down. Otherwise,
this imagination, the Bible is saying that, that's what God is saying, that they are portrayed upon our soul.
11. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jaasanel, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancient of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chamber of his imagery. Chamber of his imagery. So what are we creating? What are we designing? Evil and all manner of things that are portrayed in the heart. Yes, it's hidden from men, but it's open to God. That's what God is saying. You move down. Verse 14, he said, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. All, because it is in this emotion that all these things are lodged. You know? So you love this, you love this, I want this. All these things that we love. What is wrong with Christmas? What is wrong with Easter? And we can see, Tammuz is Easter. And God is saying that when you partake, what are you doing? You are weeping for Tammuz. May God deliver us from weeping for Tammuz in His just name. So, brethren, we have no place for all these Halloween and witches, serving witches and wizards. That's what Halloween is all about. So, brethren, we don't need them. These are reasons that are cutting our hair from growing. And God says we must take heed. Now, why all these verse 15, which we're looking, say, and he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the court of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their back towards the temple. That's the issue. Their back was towards the temple. So it was clear that they were not serving God. Now, what were they doing? He said, and their faces towards the east, and they worshiped the sun towards the east. So, they back the temple, facing towards the east. The east speaks of the mind. And that's where all these religions that we are talking about, they are product of the mind. Philosophies and all that. Let me say this as it just occurred to me. Now, in the Bible, when God gave the Ten Commandments, the first thing he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. Then he now said, you shall serve him with all your heart, with all your mind, with everything that is in us. Now, Islam, because that's what many people don't know. The first thing that the devil gave to Muhammad was this same scripture, which is changed. That's why, for the Muslim, their first thing that they share is when they are against the Hear, O Israel, is for the Muslim to say that there is only one God. There is no God but Allah. That's what he was trying to hint. Not that there is no God but Allah. And Muhammad is his prophet. Now, that's what he was fighting. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. But somebody is saying, there is no God God wants it. That's like he has nullified it. And to show to us that Allah is not a God. So that's why just to say, no God but Allah. So he's simply saying that Allah is not a God. And Muhammad is the servant of that devil. So you need to understand this, that he has rejected God, he has rejected Christ, and in fact we can call him the spirit of the Antichrist. Any spirit that says that Jesus did not come in the flesh. And that's why they go on to, the next thing they say is that God did not have any child, did not have any son. God only had slaves. Only had slaves. And we thank God. So we see that he does fighting the purpose of God. God wants to make sons of his children. But somebody is saying that God cannot, God cannot make you a son. He cannot make you an overcomer. So we'll continue, brethren, but I just want at the end to let me say this. So what we are fighting today has to do with the mind. What are you hearing? That was what Muhammad was saying. Now, in chapter 9, verse 1, and that's when God says, he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, call them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapons in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, and a writer thing by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Now, judgment, God wants to judge. And the judgment is coming from the side of the north. Because those who are the people there, they are the overcomers of this. So God is relying on the people that will be overcome, so that he can call them and say, come with your weapon. Because they already overcame emotions and all the creepy things there. They are perfect before God. Then they are the ones that can execute judgment. It's only when our obedience is complete that we can judge disobedience. Now, God wants to judge disobedience. God will use those obedient people. People whose obedience have been perfected. They are the ones who will judge every disobedience. And what follows, you know, that's where the problem is. Verse 3, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the shield whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And why this one was going on? Because God wants to judge. And for him to judge, grace is available. So, but why that was going on, he said, now, mark my own. Mark my people. In verse 4, said, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. Brethren, we are talking of Jerusalem, not outside Jerusalem. So, said, go through the city and set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my ear, go ye after him through the city, and smite, let not your eyes fail, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, but come not near
Any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Those 70 ancient men said their backs were towards the temple. They were facing the east. That mind was controlling them. So they were creating machines with their mind. So those that are ruled by the mind, they have no portion in what God is doing. He said, begin at my sanctuary. And it began at these ancient men. And on, the glory of God kept on departing. You know, there was a shaking. That is in the most place. So that's what I'm saying. This children, yes, we look at it in the physical, it looked like a permanent, it just something that was fixed there. Yes, it's been there when me and you are walking in righteousness and doing the right thing. The day we are not serving the law, it can, that's why as you read, he said that children moved and then carried the glory of God. And then from there, the four living creatures joined. So it means that the mind of Christ has been removed. So what is left is just a shadow. And that's why judgment will come swiftly. So God now started talking about the iniquity of the house of Israel. But when you go to 10:4, Ezekiel 10:4, it said, then the glory of the Lord went up from the shield and stood over the threshold of the house. And each time God says that, there is a judgment that is unleashed, you know, in that place. But why this was happening? If you go to verse 11, then that passage you read before, then as from 10, as for their appearance, they all had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned off as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they follow. They turn not as they went. So as God was judging, but there was a people who were following the Lamb, because they don't have any head any longer. Jesus has become their head. So anywhere he turned. So we need to come to that, so that we will not see evil, we will not hear evil, we will not speak evil, you know. So we will not think evil. It's only when our head has been cut off and replaced by his head. That's what we need, so that we can be saved and delivered, you know, from the thinking about evil, seeing evil, hearing evil, and speaking evil. Praise God. Now, if we move on, we see that the later part of chapter 10, this glory kept on departing and departing. But look at verse 18. It says, then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wings also were beside them. And everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was over them. So we begin to see, as the glory was moving in progression, coming to the east side. And from the east side, the last side was, they have gone toward the mountains.
But God showed mercy, because after he cleansed the house,
then the glory will return.
So that's why the glory must come through the east gate. That is our mind. You must use your mind to accept Christ or to reject him. You must. So, and it is from our mind that you can think and say, this God, yes, I'm going to serve you.
And then all the other parts of the body begin to fall in line.
The will, the desire,
you know, and the emotion, you all fall in line
when the mind has taken over. And that's why Jesus said,
Paul said about our Lord Jesus, said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus.
We need the mind of Christ, brethren. But when we have the mind of Christ,
everything will begin to fall in line.
Our desires, we will desire him, we will seek him, we will, in our emotion, we will love him. When the Bible says, love the Lord your God, it's talking about your emotion.
And these are gates which must be shut, and especially the east gate. The east gate.
But when you look again, like we read in Revelation, it said, this city gates, it said, were not shut, open.
But one thing that is clear is that there are angels.
That's why it's almost like there are gates. And because the light is shining there, that light has become the policeman. He said, evil things will not flow in, wicked things will not enter. And them that are doing evil and mischief will not enter this city. Because they are shot against them. Though the city and home. What is God showing to his people?
Yes, allow the light of God into your soul.
Then these gates are open, so to say,
but the light shuts out darkness.
Because it will not allow, darkness cannot enter where the light is. And that means that the gates, in a sense, are shut to evil, but open to God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Open to God, but shut to evil.
So as we try to round up, you see, what we must begin to see is that these gates are real. They are real in our lives, so we must do something about them. Now, in chapter 12 of Ezekiel, verse 25. Okay, let's start from 22. The son of man, what is it that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth. Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of God. For I am the Lord, I will speak,
and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that is here is for many days to come, and he prophesied of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my word be prolonged anymore, for the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Pray God. So all we need to do is to begin to remove the stumbling block of our iniquity from our hearts, because the time is short. And then when all these things were done, what happened? The glory of the Lord started coming back. And when this glory came, it has to do first that we must measure. All this we must measure. For the glory of God to come, what God is saying is that they are according, the measuring is according to pattern. And each one of us must measure us to the standard of the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all what he said. And so the north side, the same measure, east side, west side, south side, the same measure. So, and I said that this speaks of the measure of the angel, man, that the servant, which he has measured. Now, look at verse 15 of chapter 42. Verse 15 of chapter 42. Now, when he had made an head of measuring the inner house, he brought me forth toward the gate, whose prospect is toward the east, and measured it round about. He measured the east side with the measuring reed, 500 reeds, with the measuring reed round about. He measured the north side, 500 reeds, with the measuring reed round about. He measured the south side, 500 reeds, with the measuring reed. He turned about to the west side, measuring 500 reeds with the measuring reed. He measured it by the four sides. It had a wall round about, 500 reeds long, 500 reeds, to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. So that is purpose. When God is measuring, he's separating. He's separating. He measures that this one is up to the measure. He puts it on one side. This one is not up to the measure. He puts it in another side. But he's only interested in those who are measuring to that fullness. Now, chapter 43. He said, and afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. So we begin to see the movement of this, the return of the glory of God. So what God is saying is that me and you, we must first of all measure up to the standard. And when we measure up to the standard, the glory will return. So we are submitting, must submit ourselves, you know, unto him. Because he's going to dwell in our midst forever. And that's why anything that is dirty cannot come in. And keep saying, show the house to the house. So what God is saying, he's doing, he's showing the house to the house, so that we can think about it and begin to walk towards making the standard you know, of this house.
So when you look, and God begin to say, from the north, from the south, so just understand that in this house, He's showing to the house. So as He's showing us what He expects the house to look like. And so that's why when you go to Revelation, nothing is shining because it has come to fullness. All these evil and that we're talking about are no longer there. And then the sons have come to maturity. And that's why the Bible can now say that the bride has made herself ready. Yes, the bride must make herself ready. Because things that offense will be taken away. Offense will come. But we must take away the things that are causing offense. So it talks about towards the non-gate. And especially this gate of the mind. Because that's where you think, that's the mind, you read the Bible. That's the, you know, most of the things that we are doing is controlled by our mind. And that gate must be shut. So as it is shut, then you can see, you know, what is doing. And that's why he talks more. Like the priest, you know, for example, let me know because of time. He talks of the priest, the sons of Zadok, who did not follow Israel into worshipping idols when they went into captivity. What does God say here? If you look at it, emotions, you know, and desires. That's this passion. Now, it's not saying that these two gates belong to them. Well, they have victory over their emotions, and they have victory over their desires. The desires of Israel was for them, yes, you are the priest, come and serve there. He said no. He told them that this place, there will be a table for them to eat, you know, and that they will stay in their house, and they will have charge of his house. So they have permission. They are the ones, they can come out and move between the north and the south gate. But as for this one, it must be short. Must be short. So, brethren, it is clear that God is speaking to our soul, you know, speaking about our soul, that there is hope for the people of God. Yes, that we can make it. And so we look forward, you know, to receiving strength daily. Let's seek strength daily. Praise God.
Swing wide, swing.